And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm GopherDigest.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you back to a great episode breaking down the Gophers' dominating win over the Purdue Boilermakers, 41-13 in West Lafayette on Saturday. There really wasn't even a question. The entire, half of the third quarter and in the fourth, it was really handily controlled by the Golden Gophers. And to break things down with Luke and I, as always, we are joined by the former Eden Prairie Eagle, the former Golden Gopher offensive lineman, Mr. Derek Burns. So, Derek, how are you?
Pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me back. And always excited to talk X's and O's and Gopher football and college football.
All right, let's get right into it. Obviously, big win for the Gophers. A lot of people were saying before the game even was played that this was kind of a must-win situation coming off the loss to Northwestern. They really handled their business. Ryan and I talked a lot in our preview about, if they weren't going to run the ball against Purdue, who had been giving up 193 yards rushing per game, we didn't know when they were going to be able to start to run the ball. And ran the ball they did. They ran for about 320-some yards. Let's see, 326 yards. So they ran it pretty well. Derek, let's start with you. I'm just curious, what made them so effective at running the ball? Was it some getting a little bit healthier on the offensive line, or were there specific guys that really stood out to you?
I think it was, they did set out with the goal of running the football. I mean, they even talked about it the week leading up to the game. And I think although they did run a lot of the same schemes they had run in previous days, they did show some new formations. They showed some unbalance that they like to run power out of. In the first half, I felt like they did a better job of attacking the sidelines and sort of attacking the field horizontally, spreading the defense out a little bit. And then coming back in the second half with a two-back zone and zone read game that really is where they made hay. So I thought they had a good, although the plays were fairly similar, they did have a plan, and we did see some new things we hadn't seen previously that I think helped. And, a little bit curious with the Purdue coaching staff and game plan was interesting. They played in short yardage situations and in two tight end situations. They played their safeties against the run most of the day. And so that's also a credit to the Gophers offense to be able to run the ball when they do that. And it left some things open on play action that Gophers were able to take advantage of in the second half and maybe missed a few in the first half. But I think, it was, and then maybe lastly would say we continue to see just a great effort and athletic ability and just performance out of the running back position. It was good all around, but that group just seems to continue along their ascent, if you will, into just getting better. And that's what you see with young players, just take big steps each game. And it was a real good effort out of those guys.
When I was breaking down the game, Derek, for Gopher Digest here, I noticed that it seemed like a lot of the offensive linemen were able to get to the second level, which was a key contributor on many of Shannon Brooks' long runs. I mean, specifically, I thought Jonah Perzik, who transitioned from left tackle to right tackle, had a heck of a game. I think that may have been his best game this season. He was consistently either sealing off an edge or, driving his guy out of the play or getting to the second level and holding his block long enough for Shannon to get past him. Did you notice that, maybe it was schematically or maybe it was just that this Purdue front seven is pretty bad, but did you notice that the offensive line was really, had an emphasis to get to the second level? I'm even thinking specifically on Shannon's 71-yard run. Left tackle, center, and right tackle all got to the second level and just sealed off the linebacker. So, I mean, was that something you also saw, or what do you think about that?
Yes, I did, and I agree. They have been able to get to the second level in previous games, but they haven't been able to finish blocks. And I know that's something that Coach Kill talked about, and part of that is physicality, but part of that is just technique and effort, and they've struggled in that area. So they were able to get to the second level, which is nice to see. And I think, again, part of that can be attributed to some of those things they did in the zone running game, which spaced things out a little bit more, gave them a little bit more breathing room. You know, when you run things like power, it's always going to be tight. You have it's kind of a numbers game on the play side. But in zone running, they were able to create a little bit of space and get to the second level. And I thought it was the offensive line's best game of the year. I suppose part of that is to do with the Purdue defense. Just, you know, wasn't one of the better ones they faced this year. But I did think they were able to get to the second level and do much better, which, you know, what does that do? That turns, you know, it turns a 1 to 2 yard or 4 yard gain into, you know, seven to 10 plus. So it's where you see some of those explosive gains when that running back is able to make a safety or one linebacker miss. And instead of it being, you know, a 5 yard gain, it's 15 plus. So it was nice to see. And, hopefully we see more of that, and these guys can continue to roll with some of that momentum.
Okay, on the topic of offensive line, you know, they have struggled with injury. You know, John Christensen made his return this week. We know that Joe Bjorklund's struggled, not being able to complete games and hardly being able to practice. And then, you know, they lost Bobek and Campion this week, and neither of those guys were able to play. And then you insert true freshman Tyler Moore into the center position. I'm curious, Derek, to hear your opinions on, you know, what you saw out of, you know, some of the returners, what you saw flipping Jonah Persig back to right tackle and getting Ben Lauer back at left. Just some more comments on the continuity of that group, you know, even though this is really kind of the first time this group has played together. And who are guys that, to you, just stood out?
Well, I thought that, to take off of something Ryan said earlier, I thought Jonah Persig looked much better at right tackle. Now, we have to keep into account there wasn't a whole lot of pass blocking, and you know, pass blocking on the edge has been tough for the Gophers this year. It's something they'll continue to work on, and hopefully we'll see that improve. But in the running game, I just think Jonah Persig is better at right tackle. He seems to perform better there. He seems more comfortable. And, of course, that's a more run-heavy position, and so that probably suits his game a little bit better. I did think Moore at center did well. He's a physical player, and, you know, for a guy in there on his first game, I didn't pick up any obvious missed assignments, and he seemed to handle things well. Is that able to identify the proper linebackers pre-snap, you know, and those guys were doing a good job pre-snap getting their blocking calls, and, you know, no matter what the front was. And so I think we saw a good game there. And I actually thought, I think Foster Bush rotated in there. I don't know, Ryan, if he got half the snaps or maybe a little less, but I actually thought he played a pretty good game. He's maybe not the best pulling guard the Gophers have, but he looked pretty good in the zone game. He was able to, as you mentioned, get downfield and get on some linebackers. And, you know, specifically Brooks had a 20 or 24 yard run, you know, in addition to some of his longer ones, and a couple of times I thought he stood out. So I think those three guys were able to, do well, and I think they stood out. And then lastly, there were several plays where multiple guys were able to get good blocks. You know, it's I think Coach Gill has mentioned previously, sometimes this year they've had three or four guys doing their job and doing well, and you've got one guy with a breakdown. And again, maybe that's not a missed assignment, but just isn't clean with his block, or he's getting beat across his face, or, you know, he's not able to get a push or something like that. And sometimes that's all it takes for a play to break down. And so it was good to kind of see the opposite of that, to see two and three guys on various running plays just really getting downfield, getting a push, and getting to that second level.
My question for you, Derek, is, obviously, Tyler Moore made his first start at center with Brian Bobek out for an undetermined amount of time. It seems like he's dealing with a concussion, is what Kill said. So there's not really a timetable for him being back. But, I mean, no offense to Tyler or anything, but I thought that Brian Bobek was one of the better, if not one of the top two or three offensive linemen that Minnesota had through the first five games. Did you see much of a change there between Bobek to Tyler Moore, or is that something we'll have to look further into in the film?
Yeah, I think it's something we're going to have to watch. It's been one game, and I thought that Moore did have a good game and came out you know, again, came out pretty pretty worry-free in the first start. But I agree with you. I think Bobek has been very solid, and that's one area on the offensive line they haven't had a lot of question marks or, you know, haven't been lacking too much before the injury. So I think we'll have to see how it goes. And, you know, you've evaluated more practice than I have, so I'm not sure how, you know, if you get in a situation where Brian comes back, how that factors in and where guys can rotate or maybe move over to. But it's a good problem to have, because you've got two guys now that have, at least in one game for Tyler, have played very well. And, you know, Brian in several games prior to that played well. And you just, as a coach, that's a good position to be in.
You know, I think one of the last few things here, we'll talk about the offense on this offensive side of things. What is the running back position? I mean, I think it is time to dedicate a little bit of time here to talk about what Shannon Brooks did on Saturday there. 17 carries, 176 yards, one touchdown, averaging over 10 yards a carry. Obviously, he had that long 71-yard run with the multiple, you know, Marshawn Lynch, get off me, throwing him away. He did that twice to the poor Purdue safety, Trey Dempsey, who got stiff-armed in the ground twice. It was, you know, it was really fun to watch. And then Rodney Smith, he had 13 for 52 as well. And the thing is, you know, I know fans are very excited about Shannon Brooks, as they should be. I mean, he's still a true freshman learning how to play. But the thing is about Rodney, Luke and I were talking about this before we went on air. I mean, Rodney looked pretty good as well. I mean, he's a coach's son. He takes what's there, and he tries to get a couple extra, whereas Shannon can be, you know, Shannon's style is just so much different than Rodney's. You know, where Rodney is a lot like David Cobb, he can turn, you know, that negative 2 yard loss into 2 or 3 yards by being patient and just grinding. Shannon's mentality is a little bit different. Shannon does have patience, but he's just going to try to will you and be more aggressive than you and try to drag you as far as you can. But I mean, what did you see out of Shannon Brooks and Rodney Smith and all these Gopher, you know, ball carriers as they went for over 320 yards on the ground?
Yeah, I thought you bring up a good point with Rodney Smith. There was a play in the game that I considered doing a little bit of a recap tour, but didn't end up doing it. But they ran power in the second half with Rodney in there, actually. And the offense, I thought the linebackers for Purdue were in the second half, just when this is what you want, their heads were spinning a little bit. They had seen a lot of power. Again, the Gophers came out with a two-back zone scheme in the second half that I think really had them on their heels. And so they started guessing, and they were jumping backside on plays. And when you get that as an offense, that's what you want, because that's where you're going to hit them for big gains. And Rodney Smith took a power play that really should have gone play side, but Tyler Moore on his back block was beat across the face by the defensive tackle. The defensive tackle was just cheating the scheme. And Rodney saw that and cut it all the way back and was able to pick up 6 or 7 yards. So it wasn't a touchdown, it wasn't a big play, but that's something that I thought was really encouraging to see. And that was definitely a David Cobb cut or read on that play. And I think they need to see more of that, as these teams, you know, they're going to load up against the run for the Gophers, and they're going to try to keep guys play side on power, and they're going to try to cheat guys off the edge on zone read. And so, you know, having that vision and the ability to find the hole where it might not be, where it might not be designed to be, I think will be key. And I think that's something they can count on, Smith. You know, Brooks is a physical runner. He's able to, you know, when he gets to the second or third level, he does have some good moves. He's got some good speed, but as we saw, he's just able to, if you don't tackle him with population, if you don't have 2 or 3 guys on him, it's tough for the defense to bring him down. And that's what his calling card has been so far. And that's encouraging to see. And it's just sort of a challenge to the offensive line to say, hey, look, you know, we get these guys up front, we get a hat on a hat, and we might, if they have plus one in the box or they bring a safety down, and that's one extra guy, we feel like Brooks can take care of that one guy, or at least drag him for another 4 or 5 yards. And so I know the Gophers coaching staff loves that aspect of it, and that's something that where he can be used, you know, in situations where maybe the defense is keying on the run or trying to get a numbers game, outstack them, and he's able to come in there and, you know, still get some yards out of it. It may not always be a breakaway touchdown, but still able to grind out some yards. That's something they're really gonna love looking to that, you know, going forward.
Okay, so we haven't talked at all about the passing game yet, and we probably should touch on that before we transition to defense. But, you know, looking at this game, obviously the focus was to run the ball. So, you know, when you do that, you're going to set up some play action. And they were able to execute on that in some instances. We saw the Lime Grover patented, you know, boot right. Then you have your play side tight end leak out and go across the middle of the field and throw back to him. Lingen made a nice grab. I don't think you'll ever see a guy more wide open than Lingen was on that play. And then you saw another throw on play action where they hit Lingen for another touchdown. I'd be curious, Derek, to hear your opinions on the passing game. At this point, I kind of thought it was a little bit more, you know, Mitch Leidner was just more or less trying to navigate the ship and just not make mistakes. You know, he did have the one interception, but for the most part, you know, I thought he played all right. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I thought, you know, in the passing game, I thought there were some missed opportunities in the first half. Quite honestly, as I mentioned before, Purdue was really playing their safeties in the run, especially in short yardage and against certain formations and schemes. And that provided an opportunity to, you know, throw things along the hash and seam routes and things like that were open. They played a little bit more zone than I think what maybe the Gophers were anticipating. And I think there were some missed opportunities. This really hasn't been, Mitch's strong point to this point has been the mental game. He's been a little bit inconsistent with his throws, but he's been able to get his pre and post snap reads down pretty well, and I think he missed some things post snap in the first half on Saturday. And so, as well as the Gophers did on offense, I guess one way to look at it is, you know, you could be looking at one or two, for sure one, if not two more scores in the passing game in the first half, and maybe things looked a little bit different at halftime. But that being said, as you mentioned, in the second half, they were able to get the play action game going because, again, I think Purdue was trying anything they could and, you know, really trying to guess in order to you know, slow down the Gophers' running game. And to Mitch's credit, he was able to hit some of those play-action passes. And the one you mentioned on a drag route and then also a nice play-action off of power to Lingen, you know, a couple drive, one or two drives later, which was a nice read and a nice throw. So they didn't need a lot of it on Saturday, but certainly the coaches are not going to apologize for not passing more or not calling more because they didn't need to. I think they're, you know, I would guess that their strategy going into it was, you know, we don't feel like Purdue can stop our running game, and that's what we're going to shoot to do, and they were right. I mean, at the end of the day, they didn't need much from it.
If I told you guys that heading into the game on Saturday that Minnesota and Purdue were tied in first downs with 17, the Gophers had 6 penalties and Purdue would have 0, and Minnesota had 82 passing yards, do you think that Minnesota, you know, would win by 20 plus? I think both of you would have just kind of laughed at me and said that no. And I mean, somehow this defense and this offense, you know, somehow clicked. And I mean, specifically, Derek, I mean, you touched on the 2 throws from Leidner to Lingen twice that hooked up in the end zone. You know, the second one, it was a good throw by Leidner hitting Lingen in the left part of the end zone there. Well, he could make a play. You know, they had the play action where Lingen leaked out at the last second, leaving him wide open, basically the only one on the left two-thirds of the end zone there. But there were some missed opportunities. I mean, specifically, can you give us your assessment of that, you know, that interception that Leidner threw? Obviously, it looked like the seams were a little bit open. And he ended up throwing a wheel route to a 5'10", 250-pound fullback, and he ended up getting crushed. But, I mean, can you tell me specifically what you saw in that play?
Sure. Yes, it was a wheel route to the fullback. And I think what the Gophers had seen on film and how they've seen teams playing it is they have a linebacker covering that fullback in the flat route, just man for man. And so they're trying to jump that route because Minnesota's thrown to it a lot, especially in short yardage situations. They're throwing to the fullback in the flat for a 2 to 3 yard gain on 3rd and 1 situations like that. And so what they called, I mean, it was a called wheel route, and that was the first look on the play, was to run the flat, get the linebacker to jump the route and then have him turn upfield and throw the wheel route for a touchdown. And so that was the look on the play. I mean, that the play is called for that. However, the way the defense played it, they did have for sure one, if not two, of the skinny post route open in the end zone. I mean, the free safety, Purdue was in a single high safety look, and the free safety turned his shoulders to the backside. And on the front side, I think it was Rashad Still had a skinny post pattern called. And when you see that, generally, you want to throw that skinny post against man coverage. I mean, he was open in the end zone. But Mitch was pretty keyed into the play. Wheel route, he had to wait for it a little bit to develop because the wheel out of the backfield takes a little while to develop. And he was going to sit on it and he was concentrating on putting a good ball in there. And he did, and I think the play took a little bit too long to develop. And as we saw, you know, the safety came in there with a huge hit, and they were able to get an interception. So something that I'm sure they'll look at on film, and they'll look over it and see how the defense played it, and that's one they'd like to have back. I think make a different read on that, and if they see that in the future, that's something they'll hopefully get corrected and be looking for in the coming games.
Last question for both of you. Minnesota obviously dominated this game. Do you think it's more of that Purdue's front seven is awful? I mean, quite frankly, I mean, they were getting demolished up front, or that Minnesota's offense is clicking?
Well, I think it was a combination of the two, in my opinion. I know that's a little bit of a politician's answer, but I do think that's true. I think the Gophers had their best game on the offensive line and from the front seven, including the tight ends, that they've had this year. And that's irregardless of what Purdue did on Saturday. I thought the Gophers had their best game on the offensive line and in the tight end position. But that being said, I do think that, Purdue, I think they're going to see better competition on the front seven and defense for sure. I think Purdue is a little bit limited at the linebacker position. And, the Gophers are able to take advantage of that, and they're not going to apologize for that. But some of the things they were able to do schematically that we mentioned earlier, change things up. They ran out of an unbalanced look a few times, ran power, and, spread things out a little bit and came back with zone and zone read. I think that's a credit to the coaching staff, too. So I guess I would maybe put it at 60-65% was Gophers playing well, and maybe 30% was, Purdue was not the best that they're going to see against the run this year.
I'd have to agree with you. I think, too, the offense, especially the offensive line playing a little bit better, had to be a function of getting some guys healthy, too, and getting them in more natural positions with Persig playing some right tackle, Lauer playing left, and then getting Bjorklund and Christensen a chance to swap. Both of those guys have battled injuries and aren't 100% healthy, but not having to play them dedicated full game minutes and depending on them there had to be to the benefit of the running game. Okay, let's transition and talk defense. You start this game off, and Purdue drives down, and they score an early touchdown and then miss the field goal. And, I was sitting there thinking, oh, boy, this is not what I expected. Is this the momentum carrying over from the Michigan State game? And then basically from that point on, the clamps went on, and the defense played fantastic, made an adjustment. Derek, who stood out, and what did you think of the overall game execution by the defense?
Well, I don't think the Gophers changed much in their defensive game plan. They did, I think, run a little bit more zone coverage than they had previously. But, something that I think a little bit of a pattern for the Gophers on defense is they're a little bit less aggressive to begin the game. And I think that's just to get the coaches a look from what the opposing offense is doing, what personnel packages they're using, how they're going to attack the defense. And sometimes that's hurt them. I know they've had, in a few of these games, they've had a couple deep passes early in the game, had them reeling a little bit. But, it just seems they make their adjustments. They get the looks that they need. They come back even sometimes the second series on, and they make their adjustments, and it's pretty tough after that. And I think, specifically on Saturday, I thought the Gophers they were able to finally, play a team that ran more five-step drop and some more long passing. And previously we had talked about on the previous episodes, teams, you know, were really sticking to quick passes, three-step, to try and stay out of that pressure from the Gophers' front seven on defense and to stay out of throwing the ball downfield. And Purdue didn't do that, and I think they had some success early. And I guess in my opinion, I think they kind of fell in love with that. They were able to hit some things deep and you know, on five-step drop, and they thought, okay, this is where we're going to go, and we're going to come back to that. And that, I thought that really hurt them, because the Gophers were able to get a good pass rush, and that the defensive line must have been really happy to see a lot of five-step drop out of the Purdue offense, because they're waiting for that. That gives them enough time to get a rush, and they certainly were able to do that. And you know, and then you also have to factor in the game situation. You know, as the Gophers' lead grew, that of course is going to lead to more, a little more desperation out of the Purdue offense, more passing downfield, more scrambling around, and seemed that the more that happened, the more the Gophers were able to take advantage.
I think the first series from this Gopher defense is one that, you know, I don't have the stats in front of me and how efficient they've been and, you know, holding the team to not get any points, but it seems like it's the first drive, whatever the defense is, usually scores. And then Minnesota's Tracy Clay, the defensive coordinator, looks at that series, figures out what they're doing, and then whatever adjustments this guy makes literally just shut down everything. Literally. I mean, you look at what Minnesota did to this passing game. I mean, the redshirt freshman, David Blau, I mean, his stat line isn't very good. It's 21 of 49, so basically 40% for 207 yards passing, a touchdown, and three INTs. Well, I mean, that's even inflated, because the final drive against Minnesota's threes and fours, he ended up throwing a touchdown pass and driving down the field. So, I mean, you take that out, he was under 40% completion percentage with three picks. I mean, that's not very good. And then you look at, like Derek said, a Purdue team that likes to rush the ball. Minnesota held him to 28 carries for 68 yards. That's less than 2.5 a carry. I mean, there's not a lot that Minnesota allowed them to do. And one of the guys that I thought had, I mean, it seems like a guy we talk about every podcast, fellas, but Steven Richardson. I mean, I was rewatching the film yesterday morning, and this guy just immediately jumped out to me. He had another 2.5 tackles for loss and a sack. That brings him up to, I believe, 7 on the season, and he's already got 3.5 sacks as well. I mean, through 6 games, he's already surpassed both of his totals from his true freshman year last year. This guy is literally on a rampage. And if, again, we talked about this earlier, but if Steven Richardson keeps this up, there's absolutely zero reason why he shouldn't be on the All Big Ten team. I think that Devondre Campbell came to play again today, or on Saturday, excuse me. I think he may be Minnesota's most improved player. I mean, Derek and Luke, I would love your thoughts on this, but, you know, there were times last year where Devondre would flash, and then he would have a mental lapse, and there'd be a big play. He'd flash, and there'd be a lapse. It seems like this year, those mental lapses have cut down significantly, and he's been one of Minnesota's most solid linebackers.
Yeah, I think that I agree with you. I think he's come on this year and he's had more flashes and has not seemed to take a step back like maybe he has previously. I thought as a team, I thought this was the best game from the Gophers defensive front seven all year. And, you know, as much as we talked about the problems that Purdue has had on offense, they have been able to run the ball. And I thought that was key to their game plan against the Gophers. I really felt like they wanted to establish the run. And a lot of the schemes they had were out of two back, and they were even motioning a third back in to get an extra blocker. And they weren't able to get anything going. The Gophers defensive line, as you mentioned, with Richardson and the rest of the guys, were able to get penetration consistently. And I think it might have been the best game, in my opinion, from the linebackers, too, as a group. They were able to just, I mean, how many missed tackles did you see, or broken tackles did you see on Saturday from the linebacker group? Maybe one or none. So I thought they, you know, that group up front did really well, and Campbell included, as you mentioned. I thought he had a very good game.
Yeah, I think he did have a great game, and I think he has played much more consistently. And he had quite the one-handed grab for a nice interception. Too bad he couldn't turn that upfield and, you know, make something out of it. Would have liked to see him do that again. But again, a great interception. What that kind of leads me to talking about turnovers in general. We talked last week how this team struggled to force turnovers, and they were able to do that. I'm curious to get Derek's perspective. Was that more a function of, you know, the inexperience of Purdue's quarterback, or was this, you know, did they make some changes that forced, you know, some errant throws and the like? And I guess they did get lucky on the one bounce of the punt. So, you know, you got to have, there is some fortune to be had in turnovers, but I'd like to hear your opinions on that.
Well, I think when we talked previously about it, we talked about two things. One, the opposing offenses were running a lot of three-step quick passing, which just is not, does not lead to a lot of turnovers unless you're talking about a tipped ball at the line of scrimmage and something bouncing up in the air and having a linebacker or secondary member come down with it. So a lot of those quick passes, it's tough to force a turnover. That's the first thing. And the second is the Gophers had run almost exclusively man coverage, which, again, it's tough unless the quarterback, you know, is able to just comes out with a real bad throw, or he's just off on a downfield throw. It's tough to come away with interceptions in those cases, too. Well, what we saw on Saturday was we saw a lot more five-step drop and a lot more long passing, which again, is a situation that lends itself to an opportunity for a turnover, an interception. And then we saw a little bit more zone defense, as ironic as, you know, the Gophers have loved to play man coverage, and they like to do that. And I think two of the interceptions, both of Myrick's interceptions, if I recall correctly, were in zone coverage. And they may have only ran zone just a handful of times during the game. And I think both of Myrick's were on zone coverage. So, yeah, I think those two things, I think, is what led to it. And I think the pick six, of course, was, you have to give some credit to the defensive line. You know, they had him running and forced the quarterback to throw it to the sideline. And, you know, Myrick was able to step in front of it and take it in for a touchdown. So I think those things really contributed to the ability to get a turnover. And maybe I might also add, you know, again, the game situation, you know, when you're playing a tie game or a close game, the entire game, you know, and you're playing tight like that, the offense just isn't as risky. And you have a game like Saturday where they get down two or three scores, they're going to take more risks and try and push things. And again, that's another opportunity for a turnover. So I think those things all factored in.
I think pass rush had a huge, huge role in it. I mean, from rewatching each one of the three interceptions there, you know, the quarterback for Purdue had pressure in his face each time. And I think it is a little bit of him being a freshman, but Minnesota's pass rush was getting to him, and he made some, you know, questionable throws, and Minnesota was able to capitalize on those things. Specifically, Jalen Myrick, obviously, in the right place at the right time for two of those three, and then Devondre Campbell makes a nice play with a one-handed pick. But it's funny how when a pass rush gets to especially a freshman quarterback, in a defense, and especially a secondary as good as Minnesota's is, there are going to be some turnovers, and there's going to be making some plays. So if the pass rush can keep it up, I think that this season can continue on. You know, there's been some ups and downs. There's been some valleys. There's been some peaks. But, you know, the arrow is trending upward right now. And I think if that pass rush specifically can keep going, I think that it's going to obviously go well for the Gophers. Derek, I want to ask you about Eric Murray. It's not going to show up in the box score. I don't even think that, you know, looking at the box score now, Eric had three tackles total, and he had two pass breakups. So you look at what he did statistically, and it doesn't seem like he had a great game. But from everybody who watched it, you saw that Murray was so physical at the line of scrimmage, and he absolutely just shut down his entire side of the field. Even if he didn't get a pass breakup, there were targets, you know, towards his side of the field. The receiver couldn't even get close to it because Murray was doing such an incredible job. What did you think from Eric Murray on Saturday?
Outstanding. I mean, you summed it up. Sometimes with a cover corner, your best game is to, you know, when you never have your name called. I mean, it's nice to come away with an interception, but, you know, he was able to, as the Gophers have shown on a few games previously, thinking about the Colorado State game, to be able to be physical at the line in press coverage and then be able to turn around and run full speed on a downfield route and either break up the pass or just stay with the receiver and not give him an opportunity to catch the ball is very difficult to do. I mean, that's an NFL cover corner move to be able to handle that. So I thought he was outstanding. And we have to remember, too, some of the things we talked about in the Purdue running game, you know, Gopher's defense against the run being, you know, so stout. You're able to do that because of your cover corners, you know, being able to take away a man for a man, cover somebody man to man, not have to commit another safety over the top and bring another guy out of the box. You're able to commit him to the run, and that really helps. I mean, it just, so you get it's a win-win in those situations. You know, Eric's able to take away their top receiver or their top couple of receivers, and then you're also able to play the run better, and it's tough to play it much better. I thought he did really well.
Derek, curious again, let's move to linebackers. Cody Polk, you know, seems to be so consistently in on tackles. I think now he actually might even lead the team in tackles. I don't, Ryan, you might know that off the top of your head, but he's obviously made incredible strides this season, especially coming off of that ACL injury. What were your impressions of Cody in this game?
I thought he did. It might have sound like a broken record, but it might have been his best game as well of the year. I thought he's really developed a nice ability to shed blockers or to use his speed to get around blockers and make tackles. Just not allow himself to be blocked. I think that's developed as the year's gone on. He's had the speed and the awareness to cover the field laterally. We've talked about that before. He's had that since day one. You know, able to get outside on tackles, get downfield if he needs to on tackles. And, you know, that's just athleticism. But I think what he's developed inside is the ability to play, you know, things like the zone rush and power and things like that, to be able to get around the blockers and get in there and use leverage, you know, get low and able to stop some of those rushes. And he was able to do that on Saturday. And I was impressed. I thought it was, I thought it was maybe his best game of the year as well.
Yeah, especially on that opening drive, he seemed to be everywhere. I think he had probably six or seven of his nine tackles there in the first quarter. I mean, he was so physical at the point of attack, and obviously we talked about him a ton, and his ability to shed blocks and really deliver a hit to whoever he's guarding is something to definitely be impressed by. So, I mean, how do you think that, you know, this defense is trending for the both of you guys? Kill said that Demaryius Travis is going to be back. You know, Minnesota didn't really lose anybody that I believe on Saturday. So getting Demaryius Travis back, you know, people are getting healthier, maybe bringing body Calhoun. But what are your guys' thoughts on this defense heading into Nebraska?
Well, I think that we're able to get a look from different game situations and see how the defense reacts. I think in the close games, they've played well in all situations. But I think what we've seen is in tight games, they're gonna play things a little bit close to the vest, try to limit opportunities, maybe give up some rushing when they need to, give up a little bit of the yards in order to not let things get behind them and give up a deep pass and such, and sort of employ that bend don't break philosophy. I think that's what we've seen in the tight games, and then I think we're able to see on Saturday when they get a lead, watch out, because when they're able to dial, turn up the volume on their aggressiveness with, you know, blitzes and running some twist games, you know, against five-step drop and things like that, it's tough. I wouldn't want to be in the position this game against that on offense. And so I think that's what we've seen. And, you know, to put yourself in the shoes of an opposing team game planning, I think the best thing going forward for opposing teams is they're going to try to establish the run and use quick passing where they can, you know, use stop routes and comebacks and back shoulder throws against man coverage and just sort of get what they can. I don't, at this point, other than maybe a gadget play or something like that to get guys downfield, I don't know that teams are going to want to leave a quarterback back there for 3 or 4 seconds and try to throw the ball downfield against, you know, what might be the best coverage in the conference. So it looks impressive, and it's fun to watch, and especially if they get a lead.
You know, when you look at the injuries this team has suffered, you know, it looks like when you look at the offense, they haven't quite had the depth or maybe the quality depth to be able to handle some of the injuries that they've been dealt. But you look at this defense, they've really been able to stand to the challenge. And then, as you know, the next guy up philosophy has really it's been kind of epitomized, and you're able to see it play out pretty well in their favor. You know, a guy like Kunle Ayinde starts, you know, walks in and he starts and has played really well in place of Demaryius Travis. This week you had like Galen Elmore out, Scott Ekpe out. So, you know, you're a little bit thinner at the D line, but they were able to handle that and have probably one of their best games from a defensive line perspective. I think if you're asking, how are they trending? You'd have to think that as they start to get some of these guys that we anticipated would play big minutes for them in Travis and maybe Breann Body Calhoun, they have to be trending up, you know, and it's reassuring to know that you have some of that depth, as you go forward into the Big Ten slate. Let's transition and talk a little bit about special teams before we move on to coaching and round out the podcast. Special teams, you know, we didn't have to rely on too much of a punting game. Because in the first half, yeah, you relied on the punting game. But, you know, I was really impressed with Pete Mortel when he had his moments. You know, he was forced into a couple situations where he had to pin guys deep, and he did that for the most part. Otherwise, Derek, what were your thoughts on the special teams as a whole?
I thought it was pretty good. I thought they took a step forward in the punt return game. KJ May looked like he had a little bit of confidence there. From what I could tell, I think they changed up their blocking scheme a little bit on punt return. They had, you know, going man to man on the bullets, the guys that run down on the punt. They stayed the same with that, but they were able to take the second man in from the outside and rush him for one step and then peel him back to the middle and look for guys to pick off rushing down the field on the punt. And so I think that helped them. Purdue wasn't able to get four and five guys running down the middle of the field unblocked on some of those punts. And so they just had less guys in their face on the return. And that gave a little bit more room for punt returns. And it just, you know, seemed like that was cleaned up a bit. And even the rest of the special teams, I think, was they did okay. And, you know, overall, it was nice to get a turnover, as we mentioned earlier, in the punting game, which was a little bit fortunate on the Gophers' side. But they need a little bit of that. You know, they got a nice bounce to have the fumble from Purdue and able to recover that and give them another possession.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that the best that this Gopher special teams has looked in probably the last few games. You look at the return game, obviously Jalen Myrick only returned it once as he only touched twice on the kickoff for 24 yards. He'll take that. The punt return game was much improved. KJ May back there, he had two returns for 30 yards, so he had one of 20 and one of 10. You're going to take that every day of the week. Keontae Harden got a fair catch in the fourth quarter, I believe, relieving May. You know, Peter Mortel, five punts, 38-yard average. But more importantly, what was his net? Purdue only had three punt returns, and they only got 6 yards out of it. So credit the coverage team there. Ryan Santoso, two of three from field goals, and he converted all five of his extra points. You're going to take that from a college kicker. So I think that, you know, obviously Minnesota was able to get a turnover off a muff punt. So I think it was a definite win for the special teams, and it's definitely trending in the right direction here heading into the home Big Ten opener against Nebraska this weekend.
All right, let's round out and talk a little bit of coaching. It's maybe a little bit hard to criticize or critique the coaching staff, particularly when you have a big blowout win like this. But Derek, what are your thoughts on, you know, some of the game plan and some of the coaching that went into this game?
Well, again, I think the game plan on offense was to come out and establish the run. And, you know, like I said, they didn't just do that using the same formations and personnel that they had previously. So I thought that was certainly successful to come out and give the defenses a little bit different look from sideline to sideline in the first half. And and then come back with save a few things and come back in the second half with some adjustments that I think really helped them. So, you know, I think maybe fans are thinking they'd like to have seen more out of the passing game. But again, it's one of those situations where as a coach, you're going to, this isn't an exhibition. And in the second half, when you're running the ball that well, you're going to continue to run it. I mean, that's just the, that's the nature of coaching and just, you know, winning football games. And so I thought things were good there. And as we mentioned, on the defensive side, I don't think things have changed too much. We've had Gophers have been able to have guys step up with injuries. They've been able to run pretty consistent schemes regardless of personnel. And they like to run man coverage and take receivers out of the game, take the top couple of receivers out of the game and mix in, you know, blitzing underneath and get a pass rush when teams drop back. And so I think good on both sides of the ball with a game plan. I think they took a step forward, you know, with their game plan on both sides.
I mean, whether it was on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball, it's tough to, you know, say too many negative things about such a dominating win on the road in the Big Ten. I mean, something that hasn't really happened for probably a decade. With such a dominating performance on the road. I understand it's Purdue. I thought they weren't going to be as bad as they were. I don't think they're as bad as they were, but I also think Minnesota finally put it together in all three phases of the game. And that credit goes to the coaches for getting these players ready. Offensively, I mean, Matt Limegrover, obviously he's taken a lot of heat in recent weeks, but he came out with a game plan, and there was actually some trick plays that, you know, Limey pulled out of his sleeve there, so kudos to him. Obviously, the beautiful play design there to get Lingen wide open in the end zone. You know, the KJ May throw to Mitch Leidner. Things I thought I weren't going to be saying before the season would be KJ May to Mitch Leidner on the completion. But and then they obviously stuck it to Purdue on the ground. They knew that they were vulnerable there. And credit to this offensive line and Matt Limegrover again for getting his guys ready and just really taking it to this Purdue front seven. On the defensive side of things, it's tough to really say much after that first drive as Purdue scored on their first and last drives of the game, but everything in between there was utter dominance. I mean, I believe Minnesota had 7 or 8 tackles for loss, 3 interceptions, multiple sacks. So, I mean, this Gopher defense really gave it to the Purdue offense all game in terms of pressure and just never letting them get comfortable. And that's all because of, you know, the work that Tracy Clays and all the different position coaches, Dave Favell, Mike Sherrills, and Jeff Phelps, did to get this defense ready. And it's a defense that has been very, you know, consistently, you know, limiting the number of scoring opportunities for defenses in the first 6 games. Minnesota's 4-2, and it's a large part of that is due to the defense. And I think Jerry Kill, you know, takes pride in his special teams, and they changed a few things up. You know, the evidence was out there on the field as Minnesota won the turnover and won the turnover battle, and they won the special teams battle. I mean, what did you think, Luke?
Yeah, I thought that the defense and offense both played well. I guess from a game plan standpoint, I thought the defense executed particularly well, especially after that first drive. And then from a schematic perspective on offense, I think that they saw, you know, they had a game plan of how they wanted to get the running game going, and once they saw it was effective, they set it up and just ran with it and didn't look back, and I appreciate that. Like you said, this is the first game that really all three phases have played well, and it's nice to see things click, and it's really nice to win a game that you should win. You know, if you went in early into the season, you know, and you listen to the earlier episodes of this podcast, I think Ryan, you were quoted as saying Purdue's bad, and you know, they maybe looked better on paper than we maybe would have expected, but you know, they're not a great football team, and we aren't maybe sure what the Gophers are yet, but they were able to win a game that they should win. So it's nice to see that.
It is. I mean, like you said, I think Purdue is more of a paper tiger than I was imagining, because Minnesota just laid it to them. I mean, they were so physical, whether it's Shannon Brooks just disregarding human life on some of these Purdue defenders, or whether it's this defensive front just out being more physical and getting to the quarterback or getting and making sure they limit the gains. But yes, I think Purdue is bad, And I think that they have to answer some questions about Daryl Hazel if he's yet to still win a Big Ten game now in his third season at home. And that's got to, you know, draw some question marks. But I also think Minnesota came to play. I think all the guys rose to the challenge and really laid it to Purdue and got some kinks out, hopefully, in the way to take on a struggling Nebraska team coming off a couple of really close losses. And they're going to be angry as well. So it's going to definitely help Minnesota continue to get guys healthy. You know, Ben Lauer played in his first game at left tackle in a few weeks, coming back from knee issues and a broken hand. John Christensen was able to get out there way ahead of schedule. I mean, that's one tough SOB. The man just had a knee scope, I believe, 3 weeks ago, and really just wants to give it his all for his final season. And so kudos to him. You get to Marius Travis back next week. You know, a guy like Shuby Timms stepped up. With Scott Ekpe out, he had 1.5 tackles for loss and a sack. For a guy who is a redshirt junior and really hasn't done much in his Gopher career, and he finally gets pressed in the game action that's meaningful, and he was in the defensive rotation there, and he comes up with 3 tackles, a tackle and a half for loss and a sack. I mean, kudos to him. He stayed ready through his time here at Minnesota, and once the opportunity came, he asserted himself. So it's great to see. It is great to see. Any final thoughts, Derek?
No, it'll be interesting, I think, moving forward to see, some of these guys coming back on defense, just to see how tough the Gophers can look. And I think they're up for the challenge. And obviously, as we see with the schedule, things get very difficult. So that's going to be interesting to watch. And then on offense, it's going to be interesting to see how the Gophers continue to evolve. I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying they're going to have to continue to evolve and get better and maybe a little bit more creative and, you know, improve on some of the areas that they've been lacking so far. And so that'll be something to watch, whether it's schematically or just developmental-wise, to see where they trend and what maybe they debut and the things that they bring to these next few games that they maybe haven't shown so far. So should be fun.
Well, great job by Mr. Luke Buehr and Derek Burns on the podcast tonight. Recapping the Gophers' dominating win, 41-13, over the Purdue Boilermakers. We will be back again on Thursday to preview the Gophers' Big Ten opener against the Nebraska Cornhuskers, which will be, I believe, at 2:30 at the TCF Bank Stadium. So it should be a great day in Minneapolis. If you want to follow any of the guys here on Twitter, you can follow Luke at Luke Buehr. You can follow Derek at Derek_S_Burns. And you can follow me, Ryan Burns, at Ryan Burns MN. We also would appreciate it if you can, leave a rating on for us on iTunes. If that's how you get it, just search Gopher Gridiron Radio and it should pop up. Give us a review if you enjoy what we talk about, what we do on Stitcher as well. So again, for Derek, for Luke, and for me, we can't thank you enough for listening, and go Gophers.